I have very strong concerns about officers that covered their badge numbers, and that was something that I immediately spoke to the chief and actually put in writing that the expectations that I have and that our residents have.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my latest conversation with the mayor of Albany, Kathy Sheehan, a second-term Democrat. We spoke on Wednesday.
Thank you for having me.
So as we speak, you've announced some changes to some police policies in the city of Albany. What's on the table here?
Well, you know, this work is going to require a tremendous amount of additional input from the public and hard work on the part of people who are willing to be part of the conversation. And so we have issued an RFP, and we want to get the word out because we'd like to get a lot of good responses to it, to rewrite our general orders, which are really, you know, the standard operating procedures that the Albany Police Department uses to train its police officers and to set the standards for what we expect of our police officers. And there was a lot of discussion among our Policing Reform Collaborative around those general orders. We had a group that actually reviewed every single general order and provided comments. And now that working group is continuing their work. They're going to help us score these proposals and work with whoever ultimately is selected to really look at each of those general orders and make changes that have been recommended, and also, you know, take a deep dive into what we want to change and what the community wants to see from the police department.
So what is the next step in this process now?
So we'll select we're requesting proposals. We'll take in those proposals. The members of the working group have agreed to help us score those and help us select the consultant that will do that work with us. And then they're going to go through each of our general orders. We're looking to eliminate racial disparities in outcomes, looking to transform our police culture, looking at, the mechanisms for the community to access the general orders. One of the things that we heard during the collaborative is that, you know, the public wants to see those general orders posted. They want to know what to expect of a police officer, or what we expect of a police officer, when a police officer pulls somebody over for speeding, or when a police officer responds to a call for a burglary. And we also need to make sure they're clear, they're concise, and that we all understand the rules of the road.
And so this collaborative, the working group that you mentioned that came out of the Policing Reform and Reinvention Plan, that's a group that's staying together post the April 1 deadline that the report was due to the state?
Yeah, you know, I'm really grateful. It's comprised of community members like Danielle Hilly, Reverend Michael Poindexter, our chief city auditor, Dorcia Pleers, Bill Little, who is an attorney, Lillian Moy, who runs the Legal Aid Society. So, you know, and the Community Police Review Board chair, Nairobi Vives. Those are the members of that working group, and they have graciously agreed to help us continue to ensure that the recommendations that they made get implemented.
So generally speaking, what would happen? And what we're used to right now, there's an emergency of some sort. You call the police come, and they have only a variety of different tools to deal with what that situation is. The goal of this process would be to change who's responding to a call or who goes
well,
with the police?
That's another part of what we announced today. A second initiative, in addition to rewriting our general orders, a second initiative that we talked about today is that we are one of 14 cities that were selected to partner with What Works Cities and Everytown for Gun Safety to explore creating an alternative dispatch program. That's a program that would envision a different response depending on the type of call. There are a lot of things that communities need to discuss and work out before we implement that type of program, because we have to ensure that we have mental health professionals as partners who can respond safely to calls, for example, for you know, a person who is experiencing a mental health issue or an addiction issue. We also have to ensure that we have a good ecosystem of providers that are going to be able to provide follow-on services to those individuals. So it is not like flipping a light switch. I think we're all in agreement, and even the, you know, among police departments across the country, there is strong support for alternative dispatch systems, but it is really important that we build it in a very purposeful way and that we understand what resources we have in our community that exist already and what resources we need to create in order for this to be successful.
And would you have to, or the city council, the common council, or both of you have to approve any of these recommendations?
Well, some of them have a budgetary impact. So if we're creating new positions, for example, of crisis response workers, currently we partner with the county, and the county is what houses the mobile mental health crisis unit. I think everybody is looking at how we expand that. And so we would have to work out, you know, is this something that the city provides funding to the county and then the county hires the individuals? Do we hire them? Those are all the things that need to be worked out. So yes, some of these would have a budgetary impact and would involve the council. You know, we have council members that were part of the collaborative and made many of the recommendations that we're now seeking to implement. And we want to work as collaboratively as we can with our council and with the community to move forward with addressing structural racism. And I want to stress the fact that structural racism exists. It exists in police departments. It exists in our educational institutions, in our housing, in healthcare. And the work that we're talking about right now is in policing, and it requires that we change the structure. It's about more than individual police officers. This is about changing the structure, changing how we respond, and changing how we think about public safety.
As we speak, it's 2 weeks to the day from the initial clash with protesters and police officers outside South Station that set off demonstrators camping out outside the station for several days, and then eventually the clearing of those protesters. With a little bit more time to look back on it, do you think it was still the right decision to clear those protesters out after 6 days?
You know, the situation at South Station was really becoming untenable. Every day things were progressing. It went from protesters to tents to fires to bringing in propane tanks. And, you know, it was a real concern for law enforcement, for residents who lived in the area, for a homeless shelter that, today was a pretty nice day, but just a week ago we still had code blues that were being called. And so it was something that we were getting a lot of complaints about, the chief was getting a lot of complaints about. And so I believe that it was important to clear that encampment. And I also think that it was very traumatic for people to see people get arrested. Anytime you have an action like that, if people are not, willing to leave, and this group, even before police officers asked them to leave, had started to reinforce that encampment. They had taken dumpsters from the city mission to create a barricade, and they made it very clear that they had no intention of leaving. And so it was very difficult. It was difficult for everyone to watch and to see the video of people getting arrested. And I believe it was important to take the action that the chief took at the time that he took it based on the totality of the circumstances.
So you still have confidence in the command staff that you were saying a week ago?
Absolutely. You know, look, there were, for people who watched the video, you know, when an officer came out to let the group know that they needed to pack up their things, you know, they screamed about, had we fired an officer? This is a police chief that in 3 years has fired 5 police officers. Most chiefs don't fire 5 police officers in their entire career. This is a chief and a command staff that is looking to create the accountability that our residents are looking for in the police department. And so I think it's really important to focus on what we need to do to move forward with transforming this police department. And that is going to require a lot of community engagement. And, you know, not being able to be in the same room with one another has consequences. And so we're really looking at this summer as an opportunity to get out into the community, have community meetings in our parks. We're going to be issuing an RFP. I'll give you the scoop now. We're going to be issuing an RFP next week for a group to come in and assist us with community engagement and those community meetings to talk about what our residents want, the people who live here day in and day out. What is it that they want to see change first? Because there are a lot of really great recommendations in our policing reform plan, and we want to talk more with the community about it. And I think part of the frayed relationships that we're seeing are frayed because we haven't been having in-person opportunities to be together, to talk about these important issues. So we've got to get back to it. We've got to get back to regular community policing meetings. We've got to get back to being in the same places together to talk about these really important issues.
So I guess there's two ways to look at what you've just said. What was the collaborative period not long enough, or, was it just, did it not work?
No, I think the collaborative period was long enough. Look, we had 63 meetings. We had 14 hours set aside for public comment. We received over 300 comments from the public on the process. We spent thousands of hours, and we had a diverse group of people from the community, as well as those who represented the entities that the governor required, like the district attorney's office and the public defender's office. And I believe that we have the most comprehensive, actionable plan in the state. And a lot of people missed it. A lot of people were not able to engage the way that we would have engaged if we were able to be together in a place. And that was, there was urgency to the work. And so, I didn't want to delay the work simply because we couldn't all be in the same room together. But it certainly impacted the public's understanding of what we've done. I think that it has hindered our ability to really demonstrate because, people can say anything on social media. But the reality is when you look at the individuals who participated in this work, including council members, including people from the Community Police Review Board, from our Community Police Advisory Committee, ordinary citizens, neighborhood leaders, all participated in this process, and they worked really, really hard. So it's incumbent upon us to, in city leadership, including myself and the chief, to get out into the community. And now that more people are getting vaccinated, now that we can be in outdoor spaces safely, that we've got to get this out into the community and start having those face-to-face meetings. So I think that what we ended up with is a really strong plan. And, it's a plan. It's not set in stone. So we have the opportunity to do more community engagement, more of a deeper dive to ensure that we're listening and responding to the needs and desires of the people who live here in the city of Albany.
WAMC was at this press conference this week with people like Dr. Alice Green, and they said, the trust is just gone. Seeing police officers cover their badge number or, forcibly remove people from that protest site is setting things back. What do you say to that?
I think that I have very strong concerns about officers that covered their badge numbers. And that was something that I immediately spoke to the chief and actually put in writing that the expectations that I have and that our residents have with that being investigated. And the chief has given me his commitment that there will be disciplinary action taken against any officer who engaged in that. And so I can understand, people are really disturbed by that. The fact that individuals who did not clear a city street where they had created an encampment that was becoming, very disruptive in the neighborhood, there were individuals who chose not to leave that encampment. And anytime you watch somebody get arrested, it's not – it's not a pleasant thing to see. I think that, we had 8 arrests. Nobody was hurt. It happened very quickly. I believe that our officers, other than those who covered their badges, behaved very professionally. They went in. They did their jobs. It didn't. There was no escalation of force that was used. People were arrested, and they were removed from that location. And so, I think that when we start to ensure that we are able to get back out into the community, people want community policing in the city of Albany. And what happened at that encampment was a freezing out of police officers. Anytime an officer walked in or out or tried to engage the protesters, and, you know, this is well documented on Facebook and on our body cam footage, they were met with, a barrage of words that I can't say on your radio station.
Thank you.
But we have plenty of people in the community who do want to engage with our police officers, who do want to have a relationship with the police and want community policing. And so that's something that we have to ensure that we're focused on. We have to get back to the residents of this city and what it is that they want from our police department.
Just one more thing. You have wanted to increase penalties on off-road vehicles that are racing through city streets. This has been a problem in the city of Albany, but in many other cities. In Springfield, Massachusetts, where we've got a reporter, they are discussing the possibility of making it illegal for gas stations to sell gas to those off-road vehicles that roll up to the pumps in the city. And I'm just wondering if you've given any thought to an ordinance like that.
We will call it the Ian Pickus Law. It's a great
careful
idea.
Now.
this is something that we really need to continue to look at. Look, the Common Council took the recommendation from something that was happening in another jurisdiction to ratchet up the fines. We're going to see how that works and if that is enough of a deterrent. If it's not, then we're going to have to look at other legislation. This is something that is creating a real public safety and quality of life issue in our neighborhoods. We have to ensure that we're doing all that we can to respond to our residents. You know, it's our residents who are complaining about it. It's our residents who are dealing with the disruption of this and who, are fearful that there's going to be some sort of, fatal accident that occurs because of the way that these vehicles are being driven in the city.
Well, I just want to note for the record, no matter what they call the law, I am way too scared to get on any of those things.
I am as well.
Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan, thank you so much for taking this time for us. It's great to talk as always.
Great. Thank you.
All right. That does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.